For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studio. The lead stories tonight are SpaceX is in the news two times. Crypto soars after multiple Super Bowl ads. Dating apps are spending, well, those of us using or those using dating apps are spending $4.2 billion globally. I want to welcome you to episode 1586 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Support the show today. Yes, you can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Make sure you get over to GeekNewsCentral.com. Get subscribe or follow the show via the icons in the right-hand column of the website, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeart, Stitcher, over on the Blueberry Podcast Directory. We've got it all where you can listen to this show. Don't miss a single episode by getting subscribed. While you're over there, get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I talk about during the show, emailed directly to your inbox immediately following the show. That link's on the website as well. You can always join our chat room at geeknews.chat or our Discord channel. That's available, of course, on the website at geeknewscentral.com as well. You can always contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or on Twitter at geeknews, or just follow me on Facebook just by searching for my name. Partner shows are all linked at geeknewscentral.com, includes the new media show that I do with my co-host, the ProGear.Guru website, the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain. We've got GNC Week in Review with Scott and Kirk every week as well, so definitely check those shows out. Get subscribed. Don't miss a single episode of any of those podcasts. Of course, this show is sponsored by the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast, such as our good friends at GoDaddy.com. Yes, deals are to be had. And I tell you what, I haven't got any word from my GoDaddy rep, but that $1.99 deal is still on. Web hosting with a free domain on sale, $1.99 a month. You can get started today. Really, it's very, very simple. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Again, all those codes, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, $4.99 for .com or newer transfer domains for new customers, $1.99 a month economy hosting for the first year. That's that big deal going on. Or $2.99 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. All great deals. And for business owners, free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal business to business plus plans. That's a one-month free trial. Check all those out. Support my sponsor. Keep the lights on here. Keep me paid. Keep the insurance going. All that stuff is important by you supporting the show by going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, getting started with your own website, start your podcast, start a blog, start anything, any kind of online business. And all you really need is a domain name and a hosting. And basically, GoDaddy will help you do everything else to get going. So definitely check all those deals out, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. If you're on YouTube, on Facebook, if you're on Twitch, Twitter, wherever you may be today, make sure you say hello, retweet the show. Of course, always link back to my sponsor at GoDaddy. That helps us continue to grow the show, support the show as well. All right, so I got a pretty good stack, but this weekend was kind of crazy. Business stuff prevailed very, very much. It was a raw voice blueberry podcasting type of weekend. Lots of things going on there. And of course, we're getting ready to launch some new products this week, or not new, but updated products. I'm very, very busy on that site. got our beta testers debriefed today. We got some feedback. We're doing some, I guess I would call last minute tweaks. So by Thursday, I should be able to talk a little bit more about it. But chilled out Sunday afternoon, watched the Super Bowl. It's boring. I mean, I basically went into my little hometown to find a place to watch the Super Bowl because I didn't really want to watch it from home by myself. And two thumbs down. Nothing. None of the bars or anything were open. I ended up going into another town close to me, and I'm a member of the American Legion. So I went in there and sat there for the first half and kind of, be honest with you, kind of got bored and went back to the house and watched the rest of the Super Bowl at the house. So, but, you know, pretty exciting game, all things considered. I didn't have a dog in the fight. I don't know if you did or did not. So, of course, West Coast, East Coast, kind of had to semi-root for Cincinnati. Not necessarily a fan of the team whatsoever, but, you know, what do we watch the Super Bowl for? We watch for the commercials, right? And the commercials this year, you know, it was okay. We'll talk a little bit about that here in a second on what I my takeaways were for the event. So anyway, let's get you updated. Let's get started with the show. Got a lot to talk about today. Lots to share. First off, man, big news is really SpaceX is, we heard about those satellites that deorbited because of the geomagnetic storm. And there were some images captured. And this is pretty incredible. Space debris over Puerto Rico. And it, there's about a 3-minute video. You can start seeing, I'm kind of zooming through a little bit here, but it was not pretty. They definitely had had a bad night, and they basically caught these on fire as they were re-entering the atmosphere and burning up. So that was an expensive night for SpaceX, and even though 49.9 made it to orbit, there's been no word on the status. And it was basically because of the drag, geomagnetic storm caused a solar storm. And just like anything else, instead of blowing houses down, it blew the satellites down. So we did talk about that, but it was interesting seeing these images that were captured over Puerto Rico. Now, SpaceX as well announced today that it's planning, now check this out, it's planning its first commercial spacewalk. Yes, you heard that correctly, a commercial spacewalk. This will be a first. If we actually have a spacewalk done by the SpaceX crew, this is big. It's called the Polaris program. And the Polaris program will end with the first crewed Starship flight, but tied to that will be commercial spacewalk. Now, they've got a long ways to go. Their current suits that they go to the International Space Station in are not space ready. They are not, they're like capsule ready, but they are not ready to do a spacewalk. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on out in Texas, and Starship is, you know, getting very close. Once they get their approval from the FAA, you know, we could see space those launches soon. And the Starship launches initially will be obviously unmanned. The first one will go up, and they're not even going to try to land it back at Boca Chica. They're going to land it somewhere out in the Pacific Ocean, try to stand it up and bring it down. Now, they're not even going to use a drone ship to try to catch this thing because it's not designed to. They're going to land it in the water, tip it over. But if they can keep it upright, it'll be a good test. And of course, this one's coming back from a full, you know, full space launch, and we don't even know if it's going to survive the reentry. So they want to have, by the fourth quarter, they want to have a manned Starship flight with its first commercial spacewalk. So we'll see. We'll see if this happens, because let's just be very, very clear. SpaceX has got some hurdles to clear before they're able to do this. And putting the man in the can, especially in a Starship can, is a pretty big deal. And you got to have a pretty high confidence, especially with that crew on board, to be able to put a man in the can and bring them home in the can. They haven't tested an emergency escape system or anything for Starship, so we will see how this goes. Time will tell, but we'll see. We'll see. Keep our eyes on this. Well, crypto apps shot up in the App Store download charts on Monday evening, and this morning, Sunday evening and Monday morning, after the Super Bowl was studded with digital asset advertising. The face-off between the Cincinnati Bengals and Los Angeles also saw two of the biggest crypto exchanges, FTX and Coinbase, compete for eyeballs. And I actually put a Twitter post up yesterday, because when they run their crypto, when Coinbase run their ad, it was just a QR code for 55 seconds. It was moving around in the screen. And I was the only person in the bar that I was in that held my phone up and looked to see where the QR code went. So it told me, and everyone in there was a little bit older than me, per se. And one person even said, "What's that?" And I thought by now everyone would know what a QR code was. But Coinbase surged from 186th place to second place in the App Store. And FTX-owned Blockfolio and eToro, the investment app, also shot up, but it's not as high. Now, Coinbase minute-long ad featuring QR code and invited views percent large giveaway with over 100 million incentives for the crypto community expected later this year. Now, they had, like, I think everyone signed up, or if you signed up for Coinbase, you got into their sweepstakes. I already have a Coinbase account with a little bit of crypto in there, and the $2 million, I think, is what they're going to award sometime later this month. So wouldn't that be nice? So anyway, that was what happened with crypto. If you didn't know what Coinbase was before, you probably do now. This folks of this show, you should know, right? Now, being it's Valentine's Day, a report from App Annie finds that despite the pandemic, daters are willing to pay more for subscriptions and premium features than ever before. Daters spent $4.2 billion globally looking for love in 2021. So the biggest app, of course, Tinder, owned by Match Group. Tinder was the number one most downloaded dating app, accounting for $1.35 billion in consumer spending. Now, that's $1.35 billion by people looking for love. So, of course, bars and clubs were closed and people gravitated towards virtual meeting places, report said, but what are these people to do when they find a suitable partner online, but they cannot take the steps to meet in person? Well, I think that's over. I think people are meeting in person. Maybe for a while people were not, but I suspect that dating is alive and well in the metaverse. Moving on here to a little more mundane topic. So 10 best places to know about a potential employer looking for a new job. And there's 10 websites to learn about your potential new employer. Glassdoor, Indeed. Indeed is a place where me as an employer would put a job listing and you would go apply. And LinkedIn, of course, there's details about my company on LinkedIn. Comparable, there's Blind, there's Levels.fyi. So lots of places to find out about companies. Smaller the company, the less information you're going to find. The bigger the company, the more information you'll find, because people talk more about previous employers. Our companies had very, very, very low turnover. So there's not a lot of people that aren't actively employed to talk about what it was like to work for us. So, but anyway, the 10 best websites to know about your potential employer or to find a job. Not surprisingly, Apple's been fined again for applying unreasonable conditions to dating apps after Dutch antitrust orders. So they got hit another 5 million euros. So, you know, I think Apple just chalking this up to a rounding error. But this will continue every week. Samsung's new Android tablets are so popular that it had to halt pre-orders. Now, is it a supply problem? Or is demand that high? Do people really like Android tablets? I'm questioning that. I very rarely see anyone with a tablet other than an Apple product. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I'd like to take a poll of this audience, and it's very, very simple to reply to this poll, geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me what kind of tablet you have. Do you have a Fire? Do you have an Android tablet? Do you have an iPad? What is your tablet? Now, I've owned Android tablets before, and to me, the Android S21 that I have, the Galaxy S21, that phone is pretty incredible. But I still find working on my tablet to be much more productive on the iPad. It's definitely cheaper to have an Android tablet. But Samsung launched three models of the S8 last week. The Tab S8, Tab S8 Plus, Tab S8 Ultra. Only the Tab S8 Plus is up for sale at the $699 price. The S8 and $1,099 Ultra model are listed as sold out. So the Ultra made headlines for being a giant 14.6-inch tablet with a unique slim bezel design and a MacBook Pro-style display notch for the front camera. So we'll see if these continue, if these get updated, they get back in stock. But I don't know. I haven't used an Android tablet in a long time. So my feelings are mixed. I've never had a big one. I've always had small Android tablets. So what say you? Hey, Toby. Hey, Jody. Thanks for saying hello. Jody says she uses an Android tablet. So there you go. Maybe it's more popular than I thought. If you're in business, FBI warns that Black Byte ransomware is targeting U.S. critical infrastructure. The Black Byte ransomware gang appears to have made a comeback after targeting at least three U.S. critical infrastructure sectors and the San Francisco 49ers. So they operating on a standard ransomware stuff. So be careful of the emails that you're opening. Make sure you're being super careful of the attachments that you're opening. Don't get black-hatted by trying to give up a password or something like that. But again, they're exploiting software vulnerabilities to target corporate victims worldwide. And they had some initial success last year, but then they figured out they were using the same encryption code or encryption key, and they were able to figure it out and issue a way for people to basically unlock their data. So, but be aware out there, this is still prevalent. And with the NFL team, San Francisco 49ers, basically some of their data has been held as well. Now, one thing that you need to think about is a good backup plan. Make sure you have your data backed up. Off-site, not where anything can be touched, and make sure you're doing backup such that you're not going to overwrite your backup with encrypted stuff that you may have been hacked with. You got to have a smart backup plan. So be aware of that, okay? And so I know we probably have a few IT gals and guys that listen to the show, but just be aware that this is out there and running, and protect yourself. You know, the Missouri governor who wanted a journalist prosecuted for looking at the source code of an HTML file Now, somebody said, what's that, Todd? Well, you go to geeknewscentral.com and you basically put your mouse in the middle of the page and you right click it and something will come up that says view source. And you can view the source of my HTML that's on geeknewscentral.com. Well, this Missouri governor wanted this journalist prosecuted for viewing the source of an HTML page. Well, a Cole County prosecutor has rebuffed Missouri Governor Mike Parson's request to file criminal charges against a St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporter who identified a major security flaw on a government website by viewing publicly available HTML code. So this is crazy what they were trying to do there. And bad code was making full social security numbers available of teachers and other school employers in an unencrypted form. And it was all publicly available on a public website. So it was the stupidest thing ever. So Cole County Prosecutor Locke Thompson said he has closed investigation without charges. He says, and this is kind of what's ironic, there's an argument to be made that there was a violation of law. However, upon a review of the case file, the issue at the heart of the investigation may resolve through non-legal means. As such, it's not in the best interest of Cole County citizens to utilize the significant resource and taxpayer dollars that would be necessary to pursue misdemeanor criminal charges in this case. The investigation is now closed, and the prosecutor's office will have no further comment on the matter. So, yeah, they did a hedge without pissing the governor off, but looking at source of HTML is not something that any of us can do it. A lot of car commercials. I didn't see them all. Ars Technica has a great article about them, and they ranked them. They said the number one was the Kia EV6, the RoboDog, the all-electric Kia EV6. They said that was the best commercial, followed by Zeus and Hera in the BMW. So, of course, they had Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was, and Salma Hayek. I think I pronounced her name wrong. That didn't come cheap to have those two. And then Polestar, wow, Polestar, they took a shot. They took a jab at Tesla and Volkswagen. Polestar is counting on a time-honored tactic to get noticed in an increasing crowded EV market. A brazen Super Bowl ad, Volvo's sibling brand, aired a 30-second spot for the Polestar 2 that took not-so-subtle pot shots. The commercial was dominated by no's that included no Dieselgate, in other words, a shot at Volkswagen, no conquering Mars, taking a shot at Elon, and no greenwashing. Well, the company wants to see rivals as either distracted from their mission or using eco-friendly products as covers. So also a possible dig at oil companies that flaunt green credentials among many other potential targets. So I saw this ad and I was like, whoa. And I thought it was pretty interesting. We'll see if Elon responds. Now, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 commercial, that was curious one as well. And although the ad was a little weird, it's got good tech, that particular vehicle. But of course, we had the Dr. Evil, everybody in 90-second spot. So Dr. Evil got a sort of a sequel to the Austin Powers franchise. And he's joined by Seth Green, Rob Lowe, and Minnie Sterling. And they realize that if they want to take over the world, first they have to save it from climate change. So they drive some of GM's new EVs, the Hummer EV, the Chevy Silverado, and Cadillac Lyriq. So just for the record, I'm a Ford person. So, you know, I know a few Chevy lovers in this audience, but it's okay. Porsche crossed into a well-known film franchise, basically about Top Gun. And so they had some interspersed footage of Top Gun using a Porsche EV. And then, of course, there was an ad on the first ever all-electric Chevy Silverado having a Sopranos theme. So it was all about cars, 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 EV cars, 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 cars. There wasn't a gas car commercial in the bunch. Tell you if we're on to something about electric vehicles? Maybe. As I talked about in the last show, the FCC is going to take a closer look at racial discrimination in broadband deployment. The regional monopolization of U.S. broadband comes with all manners of nasty side effects. The lack of competition at the heart of the country's monopoly and duopoly contributed to high prices, often really bad service, slow speed, spotty coverage, annoying feeds, and even pricey and net neutrality violations. Since there's often no market penalty for bad behavior, but it also ends in redlining. And we talked about redlining on the last podcast. So again, they're going to go and dig into this. The folks at TechDirt took a deeper look at it, and they're going to look at the problem. So we'll see what happens. And I hope Elon Musk keeps able to put up satellites so I can get some speedy broadband out at the compound. Definitely. So here's an exciting announcement. Blade Runner 2099. Amazon and Ridley Scott will begin work on a live-action TV series. This is very, very, very exciting to me. So they're developing a live-action TV series in the Blade Runner universe, according to reporting from the entertainment industry publication Deadline. Now, I'm a big Blade Runner fan. I think this would be fantastic. So Deadline claims that Scott may direct at least some of the episodes himself once the series moves forward. Currently, 2099 is staffing up its writer room, so it's not that far along yet. Blade Runner 29 will be a joint production between Amazon Studios, Scott Free Productions, and Alcon Entertainment. And of course, 2099 is the second Blade Runner TV project to see the light of day in recent years. There will also be Adult Swim, Crunchyroll, anime series, Blade Runner, blah. So the original 1982 film was based loosely on the Philip K. Dick sci-fi novel Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? So we'll see. But it's pretty exciting. There's going to be some cool stuff. What are you guys seeing, right? What are you guys watching on Disney, Netflix, Amazon? I need a poll because all I've been watching is YouTube stuff. Again, I've been staying away from all the paid extra stuff. What are you guys watching? What series now? Science, fantasy, that type of stuff for you watching that has really got you like locked in? I know there's a lot of crime stuff right now. That really doesn't trigger me that much. But what are you watching? I'd love to hear from you. geeknews@gmail.com. If you were in Georgia today, well, Verizon was having a little bit of an outage. And I must say I'm very, very happy. My company has switched off of T-Mobile. I'm back on Verizon on my iPhone. That means when I'm at the house, my phone will actually ring when a call comes in. But if you were in Georgia today, you weren't having a good time. There was a big outage around Atlanta and started about 2. I'm sure it's resolved itself by now, but it happens. Here's a crazy thing. You know, that funding site linked to the Canadian trucker protests, which was originally on GoFundMe, which they canceled it, and there's going to be lots of investigations into it. Well, the new one, Give, Send, Go, had become the go-to fundraising platform for the so-called Freedom Convoy. And that site was hacked, and the donor info has been leaked online. So on Sunday night, the Give, Send, Go domain began to redirect to a new domain and show a video loop from Disney's phone, as first noted by Daily Dot journalist Mike Thalen. The video was accompanied by text criticizing the fundraising site and linking it to the January 6th insurrection in the United States. So obviously someone was not happy about the strike going on in Canada and basically hacked the site. It is pretty interesting. But the leaked data appears to include email addresses, IP addresses, zip code, as well as names, although some users could have used fake names. I don't know why And, you know, if someone donated to this, why this is a big deal. But in the cancel culture we live in today, there are some people who are going to take that information and use it against people that donated. You can't trust anybody this at this point. They had an Amazon S3 bucket, had been set up insecurely. So that's just rookie stuff. 93,000 entries. Wow. The United States makes up more than half of the entries for donor country, followed by Canada and Great Britain, giving support to concerns raised in Canadian media that foreign money had been backing the protest. Well, so what? A protest is not like a government group. You can back a protest anywhere. You can fund it. No problem. So, but it's too bad all this information was leaked. Joby Aviation partners with Japanese airline to launch air taxi service. ANA and Joby had partnered up to basically fly people around Japan. Short taxi. You know, right now, most of you, we don't live in this type of a circle, but I know people that work in Manhattan that when they get off from their job, they drive 3 or 4 blocks to an air taxi service and actually have flown by helicopter to where they live on a daily basis. I don't know what kind of money you have to make to afford a helicopter taxi to and from close to work, but it's out of my bracket. That's for sure. But the companies were unable to provide specific on the service, such as when they would be piloting Joby aircraft, when they expect to bring commercial service to Japan, and whether ANA or Joby would be operating or how customers would interact with it. Those details will be coming in due course. But that's an interesting move here. Air taxi, of course, using essentially a kind of a drone-type vehicle, drone-slash-airplane-type vehicle. If you want to take a look at it, here's what it looks like. So for those of you watching the show, but it's you're living a different lifestyle if you can afford to get in a helicopter every day and transit to and from work. Definitely not within my pay grade. It must be Wall Street folks. Okay, Qualcomm is jumping on the Wi-Fi 7 bandwagon amid chip shortage. And then we talked about this in the last show. We expected to see a jump here. Wi-Fi 6E probably will be kind of semi-bypassed. And Wi-Fi 7 may be the next go-to spectrum. So we'll just see. The FCC's affordable broadband program is starting to make a dent. More than 10 million households have signed up for the affordable connectivity program. The White House announced Monday that millions may still be left behind. Now, what that is, the Affordable Connectivity Program grew out of the pandemic-related funding provided underneath the Emergency Broadband Benefits Bill, which offered low-income households up to $50 off their monthly bill. That program came together quickly and was marked early on by technical troubles. So looks like that eligible households get between 30. The program designed for low-income Americans offers eligible households up to 30, not 50, $30 off their monthly internet service or up to 75 off for those living on tribal lands. The previous one was 50, sorry. So, but that's a pretty good number that they've been able to sign up 10 million people. I'd say that's a pretty strong number. So again, definitely check that out with your internet service provider. You may qualify if you're within the income constraints of this particular program, but, nice to see people being able to be online. Crypto lender to pay $100 million over alleged security violations. The SEC wants crypto businesses to play by existing rules. So crypto lender BlockFi has settled with Securities and Exchange Commission over charges the company allegedly offered interest accounts without registering under the Securities Act. The company will pay $100 million in penalties, including $50 million to settle charges from 32 states. BlockFi also has agreed to register for the sale of a new product called Yield and has promised to comply with SEC rules in the next 60 days. The company was also reported selling unregistered crypto interest accounts from March 2019 until today and made false and misleading claims about the risk from lending. So in a blog post, BlockFi cast the settlement as a form of victory. The company saw this as providing increasing regulatory clarity that helped it and the industry move forward. U.S.-based customers of its internet accounts won't be allowed to add new assets until BlockFi Yield is registered, at which point their accounts will switch over. So be careful what you're doing out there with crypto, okay? Google Message with RCS in tow is now Samsung's default messaging app in the United States. You know, messaging on Android has been a mess for years, but the tide is finally changing with Google Message bringing enhanced RCS message to virtually any Android user that wants it. And it's finally a default. Now RCS is getting a big boost as Samsung has finally adopted Google Messages as its default app in the United States. Of course, Google Message has always been available to Samsung owners, but the app was not pre-installed. Rather, Samsung favored its own Samsung Message app to handle SMS, MMS, and RCS in some limited cases. That started to change last year as the S21 series shipped with Google Message as a default messaging app. So how do you know which messaging app you have? Well, you got to look. If you have the default SMS app that says messages, you're probably using it. Now, this is a wonderful development for the Android ecosystem as a whole. You know, users should be able to choose their own messaging app based on what they want and need, but and some feel that Telegram is the best. Having Google Message and its wide RCS support as a default option is key to getting more people to understand that Android phones do have access to a modern messaging experience. But most people in the United States just use whatever is shipped. They have no really idea that there is a difference. Well, the tide has turned. Microsoft and Expedia have announced the next phase in office reopening, finally emerging from pandemic. So basically, effective February 28th, the company told employees this morning that employees will have 30 days to make adjustments to their routines and adopt the working preference they've agreed upon with their managers. Yet, reaching the stage allows us to fully open our facilities to employees, visitors, guests. All campus services will return, including the connector rideshare options for employees in the Puget Sound area. With the announcement, companies moving to the sixth and final stage of its hybrid workplace policy as shown in a previously released graphic, meaning they're open. And also, Expedia said it will implement its hybrid work policy beginning April 4th, where employees will have to spend 50% of the time in the office. But I'm wondering how these big companies are going to really... People are used to working from home. They're not going to like going back to the office. Now, our own executive producer of the show, and I just, you know, he did not want to work from home. His home was small. It wasn't conducive for working at home. He wanted to be in the office. And he had to ask his employer to go back to the office. And he is one of the few employees at the office where he works. And this is going to be the really defining moment of this pandemic. Because if you think about it, with the job market the way it is, people may say, no, I'm going to go work for someone that allows me to continue to work from home. I've got mixed feelings about it. I've got a 5,000 square foot office that's empty except for one day a week. So what am I going to do with that office space? And if I tell the employees they got to be back in the office 50% of the time, are people going to say, well, or you have to be back in the office 100% of the time, I might lose people. I have to really, really think about the ramifications of bringing people back to the office. You know, I'd like to be down in the Columbus office more with my team working face-to-face, but we've done okay remotely, and people seem to like it, a little more flexibility. Yeah, some people are more productive than others. I can't work typically from the house. The exception was a snowstorm, and it was a, you know, for me, I need a place to go get up, get dressed, go to the office, work, get done, go home. I don't know. I've got mixed feelings about it. And I'm sure you all, what are you all facing? You're all that are working. I've got the same thing going on. So are you going to be brought to the office? Are you going to stay remote forever? What's your company saying? I want to hear from you. Texas sues Meta over the facial recognition system it shut down last year. The state alleges the company collected biometric data without obtaining informed consent. On Monday, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton filed a lawsuit against the company, alleging it collected the biometric data of millions of Texans without obtaining their informed consent to do so. At the center of the case is Facebook's now discontinued use of facial recognition technology. Remember when they used to be able to say, hey, you were tagged in a post? Last November, Meta shut down that system, citing, among other reasons, uncertainty about the technology and how it would be regulated in the future. The year before, the company paid $650 million to settle a lawsuit alleged it violated Illinois' privacy law that requires companies to obtain explicit consent before collecting biometric data from users. So we'll see what happens with this. So there are some rumors here. Are you a Mac user? The iMac 27-inch 2022, every rumor that CNET has heard so far. Though we expect Apple event to take place in early March, they usually spot on display. Expert Robert Ross Young thinks it'll be bumped from his initial estimates of early this year to debut between June and August. He doesn't see new iMacs shipping before June. So we'll see. Maybe WWDC. So far, it looks like the initial rumors of a mini LED backlit display, the same type Apple adopted for many of its other products like the MacBook Pro, iPad Pro, and iPhone 13, remain current to other products. And we'll have 120 hertz refresh. Will it be an iMac Pro? I don't think so. My thing is it will not. He says, so this is an interesting question, since rumors of a large revamp iMac tend to be vague. He thinks that the 27-inch iMac will simply be branded iMac Pro to differentiate it from its 24-inch entry-level sibling. There's no longer a MacBook, for instance, just a MacBook Air and MacBook Pros. It's also possible Apple could rebrand its rumored MacBook Pro 13, update it just as MacBook, and make the iMac naming supposition moot. And, of course, we'll have the M1 or M2 or whatever chip's going to be in there. And we'll see on price. So time will tell. Those of you that are iMac fans, I've got an iMac Pro, and I'm pretty happy with that bad boy. Serving me well, has served me well for a number of years here. Full-time internet surveillance comes to Cambodia this week. Cambodia's National Internet Gateway comes online this Wednesday, exposing all traffic within the country to pervasive government surveillance. When the gateway is announced in January, Cambodia's regime will require all internet service providers and carriers to route their traffic through the gateway. Revocation of operating license or frozen bank accounts are among penalties for noncompliance. All incoming traffic to Cambodia will also be required to pass through the gateway and subject to censorship. Human Rights Watch analysis of the gateway suggests it will allow the government to monitor all internet activities and grant authorities broad powers to block and disconnect internet connections. Cambodia's military-run regime, which is notionally democratic, but holds all the 125 lower house seats after banning opposition parties, justifies the introduction of the gateway on the grounds to help maintain social order. So this will be an interesting move. Businesses, governments, individuals, just be aware, if you go to Cambodia and you're communicating, the government can and will be listening. Dell is introducing a 34-inch QD OLED monitor. It costs $1,299 when it arrives this spring. That's an incredible price. That bad boy better be an incredible monitor. But if it's an OLED, I'm sure it will be. So time will tell on this, on where it's going to fall from a quality standpoint. But, you know, some other OLED monitors have had much steeper price points in the $3,000 range. So not surprised that it's $1,299. Volta is installing 1,000 fast EV charging stations at Walgreens locations. So that's cool. Need more places to charge cars. I finally saw one EV charging station in this town. It's the first one I've seen. It's, I guess it's been there for a little while, but it's on the main strip in my little itty bitty town. And I don't know of any others, to be quite honest with you. Even the Home Depot doesn't have one, and they're notoriously for having charging stations. So anyway, we'll see where these pop up. The Uber CEO says you'll eventually be able to pay with cryptocurrency. He said it'll need to become more environmentally friendly first, though. Well, good luck with that. Crypto is not environmentally friendly. Are we going to create crypto through bicycle pedaling or something? I don't know what their plan is, but anyway, time will tell. And finally, you guys know this studio runs what's called NDI technology. Maybe you don't. There's no actual connections for the cameras. Everything is done through IP. So the folks over at TriCaster or the New Tech folks have announced NDI HX3. So I'm excited about that. It's a more efficient way to move media around. Through the NDI protocol. So I'm excited to see where that leads. Not that you guys care about that too much, but it was a story that interested me. All right, looking at email that has come in, let me see, because I think there was a few. Melvin said, hey, AirTag tracking me? He says, if I ever find that, I'll whip out my hammer and whack, whack, whack. Yeah, me too. If I ever found an AirTag that's tracking me, I'll do the same thing, Melvin. I agree. But there is a note that Apple is going to be putting out warnings to anyone activating AirTags that, you know, putting these on people or persons or property that are not yours and tracking people or property that are not yours is cause it's illegal and you could be in deep trouble. All right. So I'm going to get out of here. Thanks, everyone, for being here tonight. I want to thank you for watching the show or listening to the show, depending on where you're and how you're tuning in. Those of you on Facebook today, thank you very much. Thanks, Jody. Thanks, Toby, for tuning in. Those on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube as well, thanks for hanging out with me. Be back with you on Thursday. So we're starting to march here. If you guys kept track, this is a 1586, 14 to go, or 13 to go now before episode 1600. So I will have some travel in March. Probably it's going to be in April, I would think. Got a lot of stuff coming. I'm going to be going out to Los Angeles in March. And then I have one trip in April to Vegas, two trips in May to Florida because I'm going down for two different events. And so we'll play it by ear and see where this goes. But I would assume with the number of shows left this month, yeah, we'll time it out and see what it is. Maybe around April 1st or something, we'll be close to 1,600. But everyone, thanks for being here. Happy Valentine's for all of you that are celebrating with your sweetie. And for those of you who are on the hunt for your Valentine, I hope you send out some happy Valentine wishes today. Everyone, take care. Thanks for being here. Thanks for watching and listening to the show. We'll see you next time. We'll see you Thursday right back here. Oh. Tentatively Thursday. I had a death in the extended family. It was one of my second cousins passed away, and the pre-funeral visitation is on Thursday about the time I would be doing show prep. So we'll see. That is often, you know, preceded by family first and this type of a situation. So I'll see if I, I might be able to get over there and get back, but it's about 40 minutes over there. So we'll see how it lands on Thursday. Other than that, everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Take care. Be safe. Watch out for one another. And we'll be back here with you in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.